Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, we've already determined it. You and I are both ready to roll, are we not?
I'm sorry, missed that, Jimmy. We are both what?
We are ready to roll, Andy.
Let's go.
Ready to rock and roll.
We have all of our little bits and pieces in order and all the extra stuff we take in the car, so we're good to go.
All right, here we go. But Andy, I'll tell you what. I've got for us, I think, a fun week. Typically, and I know your favorite segment of our show is quarter number three, where we ask Andy and our listeners send in questions for you. So I'll tell you what, I am not hurt. I'm not offended that your favorite segment is when the listeners take over from me. Okay.
I love the questions.
I am not offended by that. But what I thought we would do for today is ask Andy with Jim's questions for our show. All right.
No.
So it's going to be a whole show of just randomly, just like quarter number three, since you like that so much, where it's random questions kind of out of nowhere, but they're all going to be my questions. Are you ready for that, sir?
Yeah. Yeah. I love questions. Sometimes I feel yours are through the rose-colored blue and white glasses, and they're like, so there's not as much randomness to it. So maybe if you can hit me with some randomness, that would be good. But, yeah, Penn State questions, college football questions, national questions, any of them. I am prepared, Jimmy. I am a wealth of useless college football information knowledge.
All right. Well, let's get going. I will stay on both Penn State and college football topics. Let's start with a generic college football question, Andy. You know, I like to wager a dollar or two on college football, correct?
Correct.
And it's pretty cool. It's a great time of year because they're starting to come out with some of the early betting odds. I like to bet more on individual games than on the season-long type thing. Maybe I just don't have the patience to place a wager and wait several months for the result. But I am always fascinated when they come out with the betting favorites for the national championship. So here's my question to you, Andy. And I think this was from FanDuel. They have Texas and Ohio State listed as the betting favorites. That's from FanDuel. How about from Andrew P. Shea? Who should be the betting favorite?
Wow. You know, Jimmy, I kind of like those two. I really do. I think they should be the betting favorites. I think the 12-team playoff creates a depth that we're still not used to as college football fans. We're used to a 4-team playoff. So, in other words, the pool's a lot smaller, right? Like, you just narrow it down. I don't think two's enough, but if you're going to go with a question and it be the top two, I'm going to say betting-wise and – why not Texas and Ohio State? I'm looking at six other teams and I'm thinking, yeah, I could see that, but why would they supplant either Texas or Ohio State? I mean, I have concerns about both teams. I think at second level games, I don't think Steve Sarkisian's Longhorns have proven a lick. You know, championship games, marquee opponents. They're not exactly who you think they are sometimes. And, I mean, come on. Ohio State's defending national champions. But look, they're going to go with one of their 9 five-star scholarship transfer quarterbacks is going to be their quarterback. But they got 2 new coordinators, Jimmy, and they lost some serious meat on the bone in terms of the guys pulling the strings offensively and defensively and putting the plans and then executing them together. That's a huge deal for me. So am I going to ride Texas and Ohio State? For now, yes. Do I feel convicted that one team should supplant them right now? I don't. I really don't. I wish I did. I really wish I did, Jimmy. But I don't. I hate to agree with you on this front. And you know, the general consensus is, why not Texas and Ohio State? And I need somebody else to say, well, why would you, in my mind, supplant Texas or Ohio State going into 2025? Can't find one.
You know, Andy, they're not my pick. That, like I said, this is from fans.
I know.
And it's hard to argue with it. I think they took who's most likely to win the Big Ten, who's the best candidate from the Southeast Conference. But it is much different than it was with the four-team playoff.
It is.
For many years, you know, you could almost count on Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State. And it wasn't just because it was a four-team playoff. Those three teams essentially separated themselves from everybody else. And prior to that, you know, Clemson for a few years. But Clemson has come back to the pack. Last year, it appeared Alabama and Georgia came back to the pack a bit. Of those big teams, Ohio State's the only one who really hasn't shown that they've come back to the pack. You make a good point. They lost a lot of talent. I think they had like 14 players drafted. They lost their quarterback, so a new quarterback coming in. They lost their coordinators. But it's hard for me to argue against them until they prove it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I need to see a step back from them before I'm going to think they've taken a step back.
Two quick notes. First one, Texas and Ohio State will play each other first week of the season. I know there were people who say, well, it doesn't matter who wins or loses that game because they'll both make the playoffs anyway. It cheapens the regular season. No, it doesn't as far as I'm concerned. I will be all over that game. And real quickly, just give me a name, Andy. After Texas and Ohio State, who's number three on your list for favorites?
In other words, who was number one?
Well, there's Texas and Ohio State are the betting favorites, and you agree with that.
It's who's Penn next State. Penn State.
All right. How about that? Andy has Penn State number three. I think you're looking at that through your blue and white glasses there, Andy.
I don't think so.
All right. Let's stick with the national picture a bit here, Andy. What team nationally might surprise us? Stay away from the – I don't want to hear Texas and Ohio State and Oregon. Who's out there? Who's going to be that surprise team?
So is it going to be – it's not a Big 12 team. The ACC – I got one for you, Jimmy. I got one. It's Illinois. It's Illinois. So – yeah, the Illini, they won 10 games a year ago, and I think they have either the second or third most returning starters in FBS in the country. They're either second or third, one of those positions. I know they have like between 75 and 80% of their starters are back. 10 games a year ago, sort of under the radar of everything, under the sort of the Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, you know, trio sort of, you know, the Big Three and the Big Ten. It's been more than two decades, I know, since Illinois won 10 games. So they're kind of a new kid in town, and therefore they won't be taken really serious, Jimmy. That's why I think they could surprise you. Here's what I will tell you why I picked Illinois. Illinois, Jimmy, has all five of their starting offensive linemen are back. And how they work their offense and how they run their machine, that is it for me. Penn State and Illinois, I think, have two of the best offensive lines in the country entering the 2025 season. They might have the two single best offensive lines coming into this season in the country. They are both that good. Illinois' offensive line is that freaking good. That's the machine that powers them, and all of them are back. You know, I like their schedule, and I like sort of the identity that they've adopted of who they are. They are comfortable in their own skin. That is critical for me as well. So my surprise team, you know, comes from the Big Ten, and it is the University of Illinois Fighting Illini.
I think there's a strong argument that Illinois will be the Indiana of this season. And you mentioned the offensive linemen coming back. Critical, important, but please don't forget that they've got a veteran quarterback coming
back. They
do. Back also,
yeah, Andy. Luke Altmaier is back.
All right. Let's see. Let's go with this one, Andy. Who is the most impactful transfer portal player that Penn State brought in?
Oh, okay. So let me just answer this I am not going anywhere near the wide receivers. So they immediately get kicked out of my cupboard. Like, no, you're not on the spice rack. You're not one of my accoutrements. No, I am not looking at wide receiver. This is easy, Jimmy. Now that I think about it, it's King Mac, right? That's easy. It's opportunity meets talent realization, right? Like, we know he's a talented safety. Did he make a mistake going to Alabama? Yes. Yes. Just say it. Like, okay, played special teams for him, but it was the wrong move for him because the same opportunity existed at Penn State. He just couldn't see the forest through the trees. But he has an incredible amount of talent at the position. It is a strength position. He fits all the sort of markers of what Penn State's been using at the safety position. He fits. There will be opportunity. He is going to play. They are going to use three safeties, I think, for the most part. Opportunity meets talent realization. It was an easy re-get for Penn State through the transfer portal, but he will be the most impactful transfer portal player. That's my guy.
You know what? I'm going to give you two names. I'm not sure they'll be the most impactful because at wide receiver, it's got to be somebody to step up. But away from there, how about Amari Campbell at linebacker and Anai White at defensive end?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to list five more? You asked me to pick most impactful. Give me one. I looked at both of them. The linebacker, I'm not sure about.
You stuck to the question, Andy. I respect that. All right, that's it for quarter number one. We'll be right back. Quarter number two, well, a lot more questions. Stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. Andy is answering my questions today. We're just going all over the board, all over the place. Andy, we finished up a segment number one with who would be the most impactful portal transfer coming in. And you went with King Mac, which I think is a great choice. I think we all thought very highly of him before he left for Alabama. He is now back in-house. How about this one, Andy? Who's the most impactful transfer portal outgoing? You got – actually, you know, I took a look at this. There's more names here than to choose from than I expected. Remember J.B. Nelson? Valuable offensive lineman gone, Tamir Robinson gone, of course, Bo Prabula gone, Smith Vilbert, Trey Wallace, Amari Evans, Cam Miller. A lot of people moved on, more so than you know, I thought it was going to be, Andy.
So the most impactful, that's your question, right?
Yep.
All right. Outgoing transfer portal. It's not Bo Prabula. He's your backup quarterback, right? He played a significant role. He deserved a chance to start. Drew Aller was staying. Never going to happen. It's your QB2. I know they're a step away. I like so much about Bo, but it's not. It's Tamir Robinson for me. That one is, yeah, he wasn't going to be, you know, one of the two in the 4-2-5 set they're going to use under Jim, you know, even more so probably than they did last year, especially with what they have. He didn't like that. That's pretty obvious. But there was like a clear path for him, and it was helpful for this team to be an impact player, not a difference maker, not a game breaker, but I thought there was a clear path, you know, with the talent he has and where he'd come and how they would be able to utilize him. I thought that guy could be a sneaky impact player. Like if he was still on the roster, give me the one or two guys you think could be a sneaky impact player. I would have listed him. So I think, you know, the lateral move to USC was made. I think it was made because a little bit of what do you mean I'm not going to be in line to be a starter? But he couldn't see the bigger – I don't think he saw the bigger picture necessarily. I don't think there's a clear path for him at USC because he starts at the bottom. He wasn't starting at the bottom here. So in terms of out the door, that's the one for me, Jimmy.
What's interesting about that pick, Andy, is it feels a little bit like King Mack leaving for Alabama the prior year. Lateral move to – you know, a big name program.
Yeah.
And I think both of them came as surprises to the program. You wonder if Tamir Robinson, after a year away, might say, maybe I didn't make the right decision. Now, yeah. I know, Andy, you've kept away from the wide receivers.
I will not go there.
Just because you refuse to talk about them.
I refuse.
And I use the word impactful. I didn't designate whether it was impactful leaving Penn State or impactful to where they're going. I still think Trey Wallace has a lot of talent. So, Penn State brought in three guys who maybe any one of them might be comparable to what Trey Wallace contributes. And if Trey Wallace stuck around, maybe you don't get all three. But I am real curious, Andy, to see how he does when he gets to Ole Miss. All right, here's another question, kind of in a national picture, Andy.
Okay.
I'm naming you athletic director of a not-so-good Power Four football program. In fact, Let me choose one. I'm going to choose Purdue. Okay.
Okay.
They're a Big Ten program, Andy. Big Ten. And they were awful. A group of wealthy alums come in, say to the program, we're tired of losing. Here's a boatload of money. Make this a much better program. We see cross-state rival Indiana did it. Why not us? So, Andy, you got a boatload of money to throw around. What coach are you bringing in from across the country to run your program? So this isn't as simple as, who's the best coach in the country?
Right.
For the last decade, you could have just said, you know, Nick Saban is the best.
Yeah, no.
But is that the guy you would want really to start from scratch with a program and build a program? Who are you going to look at, Andy?
That one's the top of my list is pretty easy for me. I got you got to have a plan B. So my plan A, I'll give you plan A and plan B. Plan A is Kirby Smart, but I'm not going to overpay for him. Great foundational builder, you know, good energy, really smart football coach, builds on the defensive side of the ball, knows how to the nuances of how to get a team to perform in the biggest and brightest and best moments, you know, those kind of things. He's at Georgia. Did you ever feel have you ever felt under Kirby Smart, even when he first took over, that Georgia was a mediocre, middle of the road SEC program at any point in his career, even in year one. No, they overperformed in year one for the talent they have. So for that's Kirby Smart is my plan A, number one on my list. And but I'm not going to overpay for him. I'm not breaking the bank for him. I'll pay reasonable market value, but I'm not overpaying for him. My plan B and a guy I'd overpay for, because you want your A or you want your B. And this one I feel is going to have people, like, especially you, going sideways with their head like, what? Chip Kelly.
What?
Chip Kelly is the guy I'd overpay for in a heartbeat. Now, look, not the best recruiter, right? Really doesn't want to be a head coach in the modern era. I know that, but we're having some fun here. Builder. And offensive-minded in the modern game. And the modern game has changed, but remember at Oregon, he was a dreadful NFL coach, by the way. But at Oregon, he was a mile ahead of everybody. And he still continues to be smart and innovative enough to stay a mile ahead of him. He did some building block stuff at UCLA that absolutely gobsmacked impressed me. So that's why I want him as the builder, because when you get to the if you're going to go to the upper echelons and shoot into the stratosphere, he knows how to do that, but he also knows the building block. So it's Kirby Smart, plan A. Chip Kelly is my plan B.
Well, you know, the problem I have with Chip Kelly is
right.
Essentially the scenario I painted is what he did at UCLA. A program that was down, they brought in the big name, they said, we want to compete, and it essentially was a failure. And it's not me questioning Chip Kelly.
You think his rebuild was a failure?
He had a couple solid years there early, Andy, but you kind of glossed over the, oh, he doesn't want to recruit. Well, if he doesn't want to recruit, man, that's it. You're done. I want a guy who could recruit. I want a guy young enough with energy. I'm looking for Alabama brought in DeBoer from Washington, where he was successful there. They didn't bring in Dabo. I don't want a guy who's done it in the past. I want a guy who will do it going forward, who could build the program. And it's hard to tell who those guys are. An example, and I'll give the Penn State staff who hired James Franklin a lot of credit. If you think about where Penn State was when he got here, he not only won, but he created a solid program. He built the foundation. Would I bring James Franklin in now? No. I hate to say it, but I'm not sure he would have the energy to rebuild a program after a decade of doing what he did here at Penn State.
Don't disagree.
I'm looking at a guy like maybe Dan Lanning from Oregon, who, Ryan Day, who's looked at now as maybe the number one coach in the country. You know, who was it that said, was it Jim Harbaugh? Third base.
Give me an air sickness bag. And Ryan Day. Oh.
So I'm going to go Dan Lanning with my answer there. All right. Let's get a little closer to Penn State, Andy. Who's your starting right tackle for this team?
Ooh, that's a good one, Jimmy. Oh, that's a tough, tough question. Nolan Rucci. I'm going to go with Nolan Rucci. So Anthony's coming off an injury, right? Apples to apples, right? You compare apples to apples last year. Performance in a smaller window, performance. Performance versus performance. Anthony was better, right, than Rucci. But Nolan, man, the way he finished and improved, you know, down the stretch, the way he played in the college football playoffs, Man, that was a guy laying down some roots at that position. So, given when the opportunity presented himself, he went to another level. And Anthony is returning from an injury, so that's a bit of an uphill climb anyway. But when – I'm not saying, you know, it's an uphill climb for Anthony. He's a talented tackle, but the other guy threw down such strong roots and you're returning from an injury – man, that makes the slog up the hill even harder. So for right now, for me, unless I see something in camp that tells me, you know, I have to put that guy on the field, I don't care what that guy's done. For me right now, it has to be Nolan. That's a good question, Jimmy. That's a toughie. That is a toughie.
I think the answer has some nuance, Andy, which, when we do questions like this, we're not looking for nuance, but I think that Nolan Rucci will get the nod to start the year. They have three games that are essentially scrimmages to work Anthony Donka into the routine. I think it'll lead to a timeshare and they could just decide how do they perform on the field. Hopefully they've got a good feel, a good routine, a good rotation, or a good thought of whether they're going to rotate or not by the time they host Oregon. All right, Andy, that's it, quarter two. Next, we get your questions. Ask Andy coming up.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Andy. It's quarter number three, which means it's time to ask Andy. Now, I've been asking Andy the whole show, but this time it's going to be your questions. And if you want to ask Andy a question, download our app, Keystone Sports, and you'll see the Ask Andy button. All right, Andy, you ready?
Yes, I have been. I've been doing this for two segments, but this one is different because it could be anything. Anyway, let's go.
All right, let's hit it. Paul from Chambersburg.
Hi, Paul.
Paul's become a regular. Paul says, okay. Will there be growing pains with a new defensive coordinator, and might that cost this team in an early game versus Oregon?
Ooh. That's a good one. Will there be some growing pains? Abso-freaking-lutely, right? Jim is very, how shall I put this well? He is very good at his job, and he is very committed to his sort of process. Now, I do know that James has done a very deft and sort of talk about nuances. We talked a little about nuances in the last segment about your question. James has done a lot of, you know, sort of make sure you recognize what we have and not everything is trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Let's look at what we have and maybe smooth out some of the edges of what you want to do based on what we have. But will there be some growing pains? Absolutely. Will it cost them in a big game against Oregon? By that point, no. I don't think so. Even though the opposition will be, you know, a third less calories than your regular beer. Light, you know, sort of the old school light beer from Miller there, Jimmy. That's all for you. That's for you old folks out there. I think he is at good enough, and even though the cupboards aren't like ridiculously stocked, they're still stocked. So that's more than enough for a guy like Jim Knowles to work with. He will have figured out some of the assets that he can use in certain ways, and he'll also figure out a little bit of what he might want to try and think he could do and might not want to be able to do by that point either. So But there will be some struggles early. Yeah, I do. I could see that.
I think they'll be better at the end of the year than they will be early in the year, just from, you know, new coordinator being there for the full season. And but I also think he has some advantages. He's a veteran guy. He's been around. He's familiar with the conference, so he's familiar with Penn State's personnel. And I also think he's used to coaching a very talented defense, which he had at Ohio State. Guess what? A lot of talent here also. So a lot of comparables. This defense, a lot of very athletic players, similar to what he was coaching with at Ohio State. All right, Andy, let's go to Joe in Scranton. He says, Andy, why do you think that receivers this year won't be better than last year's? Last year's did not run the correct routes. Also, I think that we should have let the Orange Bowl go to overtime. We were pounding them on the ground. I was at the game, and it was a beatdown. First of all, let's start with the receivers, Andy. Why didn't you think they're better?
They weren't running the right routes, and they couldn't get open. It's a with the receivers, why don't think they're going to be better? I haven't seen any talent development out of this position, coach. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen talent development. I haven't seen taking what already a talented player and getting more. I just have not seen talent development out of the position the last 2 years. It's that simple. And going to overtime, yeah, I would take, you know, in 25 yards, give me Nick and Katron every time and twice on Sunday, right? Like, you know, I think Penn State was just dabbling in the Orange Bowl, in going for the win right there late. And just Drew just made a dreadful, horrible, you know, sort of unfathomable quarterback decision for as many starts as he had. And looked off read one, looked off read two, bypassed throwing it away, and chose to throw back against the grain and kind of throw it away. What? That's just mind-boggling in terms of decision-making for a quarterback of his talent and, you know, the game experience that he already had. So, having said that, I don't think Penn State was like, overtly going for the win in the Orange Bowl. I think they were dabbling, and it just backfired on them. And dabble was fine.
Andy, I think this is one of those decisions that will – it's a great coaching decision if it works, and it's an awful decision when it doesn't. So in hindsight, we have, you know, that knowledge. I think at the time – I understand what Joe was saying about the team being able to run the ball. But going to overtime, it's such a toss-up kind of thing. It's very random. You have the ball. You have confidence in your quarterback.
Control,
he's a guy who hasn't thrown many interceptions. I think in hindsight, you know, if they went to overtime and lost, you'd be saying, why didn't they go for it? And if I recall correctly, I think they ran the ball first for a first down before they threw the ball.
That so lit the fire.
Right. And it reminds me, though, Andy, one of the great videos I saw put out on social media, it was Tom Brady's first Super Bowl. The game was tied late. The Patriots get the ball back with like a minute to go. John Madden is still announcing, and he says, they're just going to sit on the ball, play for overtime here. They're not going to put this young quarterback in a position to make a mistake. Andy, he marched the team down the field calmly as can be. They kicked the field goal. They win the Super Bowl. I understand that there are people who might say, boy, it's risky. But, man, there's a reward there also.
Love the plan and coaching decision in the Orange Bowl in that scenario, especially after, like you said, point out, the fire was lit by running for a first down on the first play. I loved it then, and I still love it now.
All right, let's move on. Jeff in Mansfield says, Andy, do you think the ability for schools to now pay their players will help or hurt parity in the game? Same thing with the ability to give 105 scholarships. Just real quick so folks understand, this is the house settlement that came in. Schools are going to be able to pay student athletes up to like $20.5 million, of which the vast majority of it will go to football. And the 105 scholarships, what they're changing is there used to be roster limits. Scholarship limits of 85. They right. now are going by roster limit of 105, and you could give scholarships to the entire 105.
Yeah. So all indicators is still kind of early, and you're kind of trying to make sure you're not looking at palm trees in a forest and pine trees on the beach, right? Like trying to see the forest through the trees properly. I feel it will provide more parity. I'm seeing more parity, right? Like I saw more parity last year than I maybe a little bit than I expected. So sort of as this first cycle of full NIL transfer portal, you know, the money involved, et cetera, how it's all cycling and, you know, sort of a little armchair quarterback, Monday morning quarterback in the, you know, where I'm taking three bites of my oatmeal and that's it. So it's a very small sample size. I feel parity is more than dominance.
You know, Andy, I think we've already seen over the last couple of years more parity. We were talking earlier about playoffs and how for about a decade, you just assume Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State are going to be three quarters of the four team
right.
College football playoff. You could almost just like pencil them in every year.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the case anymore. And, you know, I think too often when people hear parity, they're going to say, well, there's no parity. How could Purdue compete with Ohio State? How could Vanderbilt compete? You know, I'm not saying that the absolute worst teams are all of a sudden going to be national champions, Andy. That's not going to happen.
Right, right, right.
But what we are going to have is teams could consciously make a decision to invest in their football team. And we already have examples of it, Andy. SMU.
Boise State.
SMU. Boise State. But how about even some teams?
Alabama, out.
Syracuse brings in a Kyle McCord from Ohio State. And all of a sudden, I don't think they're going to win national championships,
right.
but they were a much better team. A Missouri could compete. They could go and say, hey, we want a Bo Prabula.
Illinois.
UCLA brings Nico in to be their quarterback. So there are teams that aren't necessarily your national championship traditional contender, but if the school decides they are that committed, I'm going to bring in the right coach. I'm going to bring in the transfer portal quarterback who can help me out. We're seeing a transfer quarterbacks all over the place and some very good ones, Andy, who have helped teams out. So, I think that is a part of it. All right. Speaking of Bo Prabula, Mike from Stroudsburg says, what's your confidence level in the young quarterbacks if Drew Aller would miss a couple games with injury?
Ooh, wow. Confidence level. Okay, so knowing that the QB2 is not going to be Drew Aller, you reset your expectations. I'm going to go 80% confident under adjusted expectations. He can have, you know, enough success to be measurable. 20% doubt. 80-20 rule, Jimmy. Adjusted expectations. He is not Drew Aller with two seasons of starting quarterback and five-star arm talent under him, right? That's just different. So I would Penn State be better if Bo Prabula was a QB2? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Do I feel a lack of safety and confidence in the QB2 that Penn State's going to be looking at? No.
You know, Andy, I think having
good question.
Having a Bo Prabula was a luxury, okay?
Yeah.
It was a luxury not many teams have. Yep. With that said, I think James Franklin, we've talked about this. He's much more prepared now with his backup quarterbacks. I think every word we're getting is both of them have been very impressive. I have more confidence than I did in years past. That's it for Ask Andy. Stick around. We got more to come in quarter four.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. We got done with your questions. Now we get back to my questions, Andy.
Yes!
Yeah. All right. Let's get a little more Penn State centric. Penn State's been, they're on their third defensive coordinator in the last 3 years. We went from Manny Diaz to Tom Allen to Jim Knowles. Those are your three defensive coordinators. Rank them for me, Andy.
Oh, this Manny's one. Sorry. I love the hire. When I first heard about it, I couldn't believe that James Franklin and Penn State actually had a chance to get him because of the position he was in after being fired by Miami. He was sort of like, he was a little beaten up and down. But James didn't have a relationship with him. And I had followed his career as a DC because I just always thought he was one of the defenses, and the way he did it was just, it was part mad scientist, part genius, part making a little bit of chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, because he didn't. And I'm like, wow, imagine if this guy had a talent in terms of depth and at all three levels. Well, we got to experience that. He's just so good at that job. So it's Manny, it's Jim, and then it's Tom Allen. I don't think Tom Allen was a bad defensive coordinator. I don't think he was the right guy at Penn State after it got going. I still think he did what I would call an above board, an above average job. It just wasn't the right fit. So I don't know about Jim Knowles and the fit. I just know he wants to be there. He's old school, which, just come on, Jimmy, we're old. He's near and dear to our hearts. He talked about watching college football highlights on Saturday, and you're just like so melancholy and nostalgic about that. And I'm sorry, I know their offense had flash in the college football playoffs, but all the way, national championship, body of work. They won a national championship because that defense was the best defense in the country, and they won football games for him to get them to the point where the offense could be the show pony. So, yeah, I'm going to go Manny, Jim Knowles, and then Tom Allen. That's not a bad trio to choose from, by the way, Jimmy, in terms of defensive coordinators.
No, and there were moments this season, Andy, big moments where I don't think the defense stepped up the way we wanted. If you were there, Ohio State at Penn State, and you saw Penn State inside the Ohio State 10-yard line, pounded into the line of scrimmage, and Ohio State's defense never broke.
Knew it.
And at the end of the game, when Ohio State got possession and you knew they were going to run the ball because they wanted to just run clock, Penn State's defense couldn't get a stop.
Correct.
You still got to be the players on the field doing it.
Correct.
But if you wanted just a side-by-side comparison, that's why I would take Jim Knowles over Tom Allen. And you know how I feel about Manny Diaz.
Yes, we all do, Jimmy. All right. As you should.
All right, Andy. Who's the best quarterback in the country?
Oh, man, that's hard. That's hard, Jimmy. This is a deep group, right? Off the top of my bald head, Cade Klubnik, Drew Aller's in that conversation. Arch Manning, even though he's sort of a new kid. Carson Beck transferring from Georgia to Miami. Garrett Nussmeier. I love the kid at Florida, DJ Langway. The most upside for me is Nussmeier. His shortcomings, which are consistency and decision-making, right, and slash taking care of the ball, those are kind of fixable. And if each of them or even one of them becomes an asset or becomes a strength, moves on to the strength category, I mean, with his arm talent, I just say look out. So that's the upside one. The easy call, it's Cade, Klubnik, and Clemson. That's going to be who I'll pick for you, Jimmy. I think the wide receiver position has the potential and has a history and has to prove itself otherwise. They hold Drew Aller back a little bit on this list for me. He doesn't do himself any favor in the big games. But overall, there's more to just, you know, there's more to it than that when you're talking about the best. So that's what's kind of holding Drew back. There's a part of it that's true as well. So Cade Klubnik, with, I think the upside one is Nussmeier, and what do I know? It's quarterbacks. I would say between the two of us, I know 90% of football better than you do. That's just a fact. Don't argue it, Jimmy. I'm smarter than you when it comes to football. But when it comes to the quarterback position, you're way smarter than me.
You know, this is always a tough one because you're looking for production, high side. There's so many ways to ask them. And you know what? I'm not going to say he's the best, but I will put on the blue and white glasses and say the guy we got in Happy Valley
ain't too bad.
Has as much a high side as anybody in the country.
Drew Aller has just as much potential as Cade Klubnik to be a Heisman Trophy candidate. It's equal. There's no difference between the two in equality on that front.
But you hit it, Andy. It's going to be all about the big games.
Ohio State and Oregon.
Got two of them. Ohio State and Oregon.
Yep.
Yeah. If they go 2-0 in those games, very good chance you're going to see Drew Aller in New York.
Good call.
Okay, Andy. We're talking quarterbacks. We're talking quarterbacks. At Penn State, James Franklin has had Christian Hackenberg, Trace McSorley, Sean Clifford, Drew Aller as his starters.
Yes.
Rank them for me.
Oh, Jimmy, that's such an unfair question.
Andy, let me just stop you for a second.
What?
There's nothing in your contract that says the questions have to be fair on this show.
All right, that's valid. That's not a fair question. Three completed bodies of work and a one. Okay. Trace McSorley's one. End of story. Love that guy. You know, 97 intangibles. 37 shortcomings, and they equal 110% of goodness. For many, many reasons, I'm going to put Christian Hackenberg second. Sean Clifford, a very close third. That one's tough. I have to put Drew Aller last. His body of work is complete. There's still more to come. There is great potential for him, but it's such an unfair question. Trace, Christian, Sean, Drew. There you go.
Okay. I will agree with you. Trace is the guy.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Drew Aller has a chance. He has a real chance. And as much as we all love Trace, the reason why he's number one is he won more than anybody the others.
Yeah.
And he has a Big Ten championship under his belt.
Yep.
That's what makes him number one, Andy. All right. Here's a question for you. Which is the better conference, the Big Ten or the Southeast Conference?
Okay, so how do you define better? The SEC. Yeah, deeper, more intrigue right now. Just, you know, will they be six or seven deep this year? Maybe. Are they going to miss out on some of the marquees like we did last year? Alabama deserved to be out. But, man, it was a fun journey to watch that conference sort of, you know, navigate week to week and sort of eat its own a little bit, wasn't it? It was entertainment, Q factor, depth, you know, a little bit. At the end of the day, it was like, wow, who's the SEC champion, right? At the end of the, Georgia. Wow, what's different about that? Man, the road to get there was completely different. Can Texas live up to even loftier expectations? Not great on the big stage. Is Alabama gone or is Alabama SEC, Jimmy? I don't think it's close. It's not at the very top. At the very top, maybe 1, 2, and 3 and stop. You can make a case for the Big Ten, but top to bottom, week to week, give me the SEC, and I'm not sure it's close.
It pains me, but I agree, Andy. At the very top, you know, they have the last two national champions. They have three teams in, you know, Penn State, Oregon, and Ohio State who could all be there again. But the depth, and even if you look at the playoffs from last year, look at the three SEC teams who didn't make it with the three losses. Rightfully so, Andy.
Correct.
Rightfully so.
Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina.
But with the 16-team playoff, which is where we're headed.
We are headed there.
All three of those teams would have made the playoffs, Andy.
Fair point. Well done, Jimmy.
With their depth, you know. Anyway, all right, let's get back to a Penn State question. Andy, who is the most important position coach on the Penn State staff? Not coordinator. Coordinators are out. Position coach or most important. Let's get it right. Most
position
important.
Coach. So you threw the coordinators out the window. That's tough.
I've got my answer, Andy.
Yeah,
you want
to
stall a little longer and let me give mine?
Go ahead and give yours because I've had three names pop in my head.
Troutwine, offensive line. The turnaround, it's like when I talk about head coaches, you take over a great program, the recruiting in place, all that. Yeah, you might be a good coach. He took over an offensive line that was not very good. We talked about the O-line like we currently talk about the wide receivers, and it's the narrative has completely changed since Troutwine has gotten there.
So you're talking big picture on this one. I thought you were just talking for the 2025 season.
I still stand by my pick.
Okay. Dan Connor.
Ooh.
I think he's a really sneaky good coach. He's been doing some stuff behind the scenes that wouldn't be overtly described as coaching because of an NCAA rule that didn't permit it. The loss of Robinson sort of is going to make it sticky for him. I think he needs to help these. He can help these linebackers navigate a little bit of this shortcoming that we know exists. Even though I know it's his first year as a position coach, I don't care. He's smartest guy in the room every single time almost, and you don't know it. I know that about Dan very well. For me, it's Dan Connor because I think he has the potential to make these linebackers special.
All right, Andy, that's a very good pick. I like that one.
Thank you.
And that'll be our last word, Andy. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you tune in next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.